Country music, it's been a big part of my life. I guess it's always been a big part, though it was kind of dormant for a while. But when I was little, I went to my grandma's house in Oklahoma and heard Willie Nelson all the time and old Hank Williams stuff. My mom had a lot of old Johnny Cash around the house. And when I moved to New York about 5 years ago, I sort of rediscovered that side of me. I guess because I missed Texas. I got into jazz when I was in junior high, and I just kind of got obsessed with it. That was all I listened to for about 7 years. And, yeah, that's kind of what I learned to play on. Old jazz standards. I listened to tons of Miles Davis and John Coltrane, Keith Jarrett, lots of Bill Evans. And that's sort of where I learned what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to sing like a cross between Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington, and Billie Holiday. And I wanted to play the piano like Bill Evans. And I can't do any of that, but... Yeah, I ended up morphing into something else, but that's where a lot of my influences are based in. And then also in, you know, other stuff my mom had around the house, Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles and stuff like that. Otis Redding, I was a huge Otis Redding fan. My sound never really, it still hasn't come together. I'm still figuring it out. But I guess the sound that people hear now from this CD and the last CD, that really came together in the studio from my first CD. I was signed to a jazz label, but I was writing a couple songs and I was doing songs that my friends wrote. And we just got together and recorded, and really what came out was pretty much what was on the CD. So it was just kind of a trial by fire thing. And I don't even know. Evidently, people liked it, which is great, but I'm not sure. If I'd have thought about it long and hard, I wonder if that's what I would have ended up with. Playing live has definitely been a really big learning curve for me, from going from playing in bars for 10 people who weren't even listening to playing in these huge theaters where everybody's listening and reviewing. And it's very nerve-wracking, you know. You got to put together a show that flows well. And also, there's a really fine line between playing stuff that you just want to play, because I don't come from the school of playing the same stuff every night after night, but I don't want to get bored with it, and I don't want it to get stale. So we put a lot of different cover songs in that just to make it fun for us. Like, we play an AC/DC song, we play a Gram Parsons song. We just do stuff that's fun for us, and we try to pick songs that round out the set a little more. But we always tend to pick sort of 70s rock songs. For some reason, with a backbeat. I love being in the studio. I feel very comfortable in the studio because you can always go back and erase it, you know, if it's not good, or try it again if you want. Or you capture something totally magical that you never planned out, so, and you can replay it. I met my bass player, Lee Alexander, and one of my guitar players, Adam Levy, doing jazz brunch gigs in New York. I mean, we were playing old standards. That's what we were doing. That's how I met them. And so I guess the three of us definitely come out of that sort of place where we played a lot of jazz. But we all three really kind of have similar tastes. We love country music. We love old R&B, lots of different stuff. And the different parts of each of us have come out in the past couple of years. And my drummer, Andy, I think he has a pretty strong jazz background, but he's played with a lot of songwriters. And Daru, my best friend, who sings backup with us, who started out as our tour manager, she was really into jazz in high school, I know. And we have a new guitar player named Robbie McIntosh, and he's really great. He's from England, and he's played with lots of people. He played with the Pretenders and Paul McCartney, and he's kind of been all over the place. So it's been really interesting. We've only played with him a week now, and it's been really fun. I'm really glad. He's working out really great. Our former guitar player, Kevin Bright, we're sad that he can't come out with us, but he's got three small young children, and it was just too much traveling for him to do. So we were really lucky to find someone like Robbie. It's turning out to be a world tour, which is crazy. There's so many places that we haven't been able to go to that we've really wanted to go. But, you know, there's just so much time I can spend on the road, it just gets to be kind of tiring traveling a lot. So we're scheduling it a little bit better this year with a lot of breaks so that we'll have time to hopefully get more places than we did last year. I've been a control freak from day one with Arif, and he's a wonderful producer because he steps in when he knows he has to, and he lets me do my thing when he knows that I'm going to do it anyway. So, you know, it's been about the same on both CDs. And on both CDs, Lee Alexander, my bass player, had a big role in the making of everything, too. We like to go out and have fun, but we don't go to clubs or anything. We'll just go to a bar and have a beer or go play pool, billiards. Do you call it pool here?
Pool.
Okay. You play pool. We like to have fun, but, you know, we don't go crazy. But if we did, I wouldn't tell you. Yeah, I mean, I've been really lucky with songwriting. I have not had a lot of songs that I've written myself, only a few. And, you know, it started out with Jesse Harris on the last record. He was a good friend of mine, and I started singing his songs for fun. And then Lee, my bass player, started writing songs, and I started singing his songs. And he's turned out to be such a great songwriter. And Adam, we were all into songwriting, and Adam on the bus started writing songs, and Andy and Daru now started too, and Kevin had a song on the new record, so it's been really special, I think, being able to share it all. I mean, I think the whole band definitely feels really close to this record. They don't feel like they're just touring a record. I mean, they're not just hired musicians for me. They're my band, they're my family. They're a huge part of what I do right now at this moment. They're most of it. I'm drawn to melody. You know, even when I listen to music, even a song with amazing lyrics, I usually don't know what they're saying until at least the second or third listen. And the things that are going to bring me back to listen to it a second or third time is the melody. Lyrics are so hard to write. I mean, my writing has been completely stunted with all that's happened. It's been great, but I haven't really written that much since we started, you know, getting so busy. It's kind of hard for me to write on the road. I think I have to be really bored to get really creative for some reason. So, not bored, but, you know, just kind of be brooding at home or something. But, yeah, writing lyrics is hard. It's harder than the music for me, definitely. The good thing about the piano is I've played since I was so young that, you know, you have to do all the hard stuff and practice when you're little. You kind of forget the pain, and you just kind of learn the language. It's kind of like language. Not that I'm incredibly fluent, but, you know, I play the way I play. I don't have a lot of technique, but I play the way I play, and I think it suits what I do. Actually, most of the songs that I've written on guitar. I play enough to pick out, you know, chords here and there, or write a really simple guitar part. And Lee writes all his songs on guitar, so when all these songs are written on guitar, sometimes it's cool to transfer something to another instrument. You bring something to it that's totally different, but it's kind of hard to go to the piano unless it's got a certain thing. It ends up sounding too piano-y for me. Like I said before, we kind of happened onto the first album. It was never intended to be super mellow. But I do like mellow albums. I like an album that keeps a mood the whole way through. And the way I sing, I mean, I'm not a screamer, I'm not a belter. If I tried, it probably wouldn't sound that good. And trust me, I have tried. You know, I want to make a surrounding for my voice that makes me sound the best that I can, you know. I don't want to do something that maybe doesn't suit me. So for that seemed to be what happened. I moved to New York because I didn't really want to stay and finish music school, because I felt like I would burn out. And I wanted to be in New York just to see what was going on. And my goal when I moved to New York was to get enough gigs to support myself. That was it. I had no idea. I never even really thought about record companies. I didn't really know that whole side of things. I never thought about it. I was just working on getting gigs and making enough money to pay rent, you know, hopefully quit my job waiting tables pretty soon. And you know, that was it. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody said, hey, you want me to make you an appointment at Blue Note Records? I was like, sure. They're a great label. I own a lot of records that were on Blue Note. Sure, why not? You know, at this time I was playing jazz standards. And so everything sort of just snowballed. I started getting into this other stuff, and we ended up making this record that was a little bit different than what I had even thought it was going to be. It just sort of happened in the studio, and then all hell broke loose. So it's been fun, but it's definitely a whole other world than what I had ever even thought about for myself. I just love New York. I've always seen myself living there. I grew up visiting. I was born there, but I grew up visiting there a lot, and I've always wanted to live there. Because there's everything there. You can do anything you want. I mean, within reason. It is very expensive. That was hard when I first moved to New York. But, you know, you put your priorities in order. When you're young, it's easy to live in a square box of an apartment and pay through the nose to get to do what you love to do and to get to be in such an exciting place. And now it's great. It's where all my friends are. My mom lives there now, and it's home. It's more the same than you would think it would be. My life has definitely changed a lot on some levels, but I still have most of the same friends, and I go to a lot of the same places that I went to 4 years ago in New York. So unfortunately, I'm not really there much anymore. That's the main difference. But when I am there, I usually try to go back to my favorite places. Oh, I got to meet Aretha Franklin and Bonnie Raitt and all these insane people that I just kind of worship. And that was the biggest deal to me at the Grammys, actually. I mean, of course, obviously there were other cool things that happened for me, but that night, my heartbeat went the fastest when I got to meet those people. Oh, it was fun. Well, it was stressful, actually. I don't know. It was like a weird dream. I don't really feel like that was real sometimes. It was just a really long day, and I never had 2 seconds to myself to really, you know, think about what was happening, which I think was fine. I think that's okay. I don't think I really needed that. I don't think that was a good idea anyway, but, you know, looking back, it was fun. It was definitely a stressful night. I remember 6 a.m, we finally got back to the hotel, and I still hadn't had 5 minutes to talk to my boyfriend about all that had happened. And he'd been with me all night, but we hadn't had literally 2 minutes to speak to each other about it. So we ended up getting a cheeseburger at 6 a.m. and finally, you know, undoing my jeans and letting my hair down and just being normal after the circus. Yeah, the first time I got to meet Willie Nelson, it was before my first CD came out, almost 2.5 years ago. And we went out to San Francisco to open up for him through some weird connection I had. And it's probably the biggest moment for me, because after that, everything great happened, but I kind of became desensitized to it all. So that was when I was still totally wide-eyed and couldn't believe everything. And not that I hate it all now. It's just I don't get as excited as I did then, and it was just so exciting. I got to sing with him. We opened up for him for 4 nights, and just watching his show every night was really special. He's great. Ray Charles is another one who, I mean, my favorite Ray Charles album is the country and western one, you know, and I just love everything about Ray Charles. I mean, he could sing any song, and it just sounds like Ray Charles, and it sounds amazing, and it's, I mean, I can't even talk about him. He's so amazing. There's really nothing I can say to do it justice. You know what I'm talking about. The first time I met him was at this Elton John, we all sang Elton John songs. It was really fun, this NAMM show in California, and Ray Charles sang a song, and I got to meet him out by his car when he was leaving, and I was crying. Because I love him so much. He just played, and he kind of brought me to tears. I just got really emotional for some reason. Well, I guess because he's probably as big an influence on me as you can get. And then I went out to California to sing with him about 6 or 7 months ago. And it was so weird. I can't even believe I got to sing with Ray Charles. I don't know why I got to sing with him. I mean, it was almost like it was an honor, but it was just so ridiculous that, I mean, in reality, I don't really want to sing with someone like Ray Charles. I just want to listen to him sing. I don't want to ruin it with me, you know, but I had to do it because it was the kind of opportunity that I would, you know, never forgive myself if I didn't. Yeah, Andre 3000, that was really cool. He called me up, yeah, a year and a half ago. And I knew who Outkast was, and I knew a couple of their songs, but I wasn't that familiar. But I did, all I knew that it was that I liked what I had heard. And he seemed like a really nice guy on the phone, so I thought, why not? I'm going to be in L.A. It was fun. He was really nice. And we were in and out of there in a couple hours. And that was the last I heard of it. We played phone tag a couple times. And then the next thing I knew, his album was just everywhere. And it was so amazing. I was so proud of them, and I was so happy for them. And I don't really know them that well, to be honest, but it just makes me happy that they did well, because they make really good music and they're so creative, both of them. It's funny. I've played with a lot of different people without really meaning to. It all just kind of happened. And it's all been really fun. I've had my cake and eaten it. I feel like, you know, it would be, I'm happy, you know. I could play with my band for the rest of my life and be happy. But it's been exciting to get to play with other people, too.